I want to go to start in Hebrews 3. We've been reading through Hebrews on the Friday night Bible study. And we had a good study on Hebrews 3 this last Friday. But last Friday, and even today as I looked at it, I was sort of had something more that was in my heart about what was shared and just some of the lesson that maybe we can learn from what the Holy Spirit was saying to that chapter. And I think the key is, and I'm going to read quite a number of verses about it, but I think to kind of say the punchline at the start, the key is that God wants to speak to us every single day. And I'm going to read these verses where it talks about today, today, today. And you can kind of, I can see even in my past, I think sometimes I thought of that day was like, oh, that was the day I had some repentance. Or that was the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ. Because there are other places it says today is the day of salvation. And I was reading that and I was reflecting. I was thinking like, when we get into the context, I was like, no, I don't think that's it. Like, I think he wants to speak to us every single day. And we should desire that, and we need it. It's not just like it's a nice to have, it's a need to have. And as I share this today, I don't want to put a yoke on anyone. I don't want anybody to walk out of here with a stress or a burden that all of a sudden, oh, am I hearing, like, I can say this last week, I did not hear from God every single day. I can say that. But I had a burden, I had a desire. And when there was an absence, I was asking, like, Lord, why? Like, why, Lord? And it wasn't discouraging, because when the Lord speaks, it's never, ever discouraging. If you hear a discouraging voice, you know for certain, 100%, it's the devil. The Lord never discourages. The Lord exhorts, the Lord rebukes, but he never discourages. And you're going to see that in some of the verses that I'm going to read. He does not speak that way. And so even as I question and I may ask, like, Lord, why? Why am I not hearing? Like, why is your voice hard to hear right now, Father? I don't need to be discouraged about that. I should search and I can look inward, but I don't want it to produce discouragement. It should produce hope and it should produce a desire. Because we have the promise that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who want to hear, those who want to be conformed, those who want to become more like their Savior, like Jason prayed, they will be fed. We will hear. And I think the other thing that's in my heart that isn't necessarily what I'm going to read in the scriptures, it's a journey, right? Like, he wants us to learn to listen for his voice. And it's like, as we grow, and I can say it from my own testimony, as we grow, you get more in tune to that voice. Just like the shepherd, right? It says the shepherd leads the sheep out by name. How often does that happen? Like, every single day, the shepherd's calling the sheep, leading them in, keeping them from safety. Those sheep are, like, fully tuned in to the shepherd's voice. But it doesn't start day one. Like, day one, they're a little lamb, and they primarily get to follow the shepherd because they're following their mom around. And their mom has learned the shepherd's voice, and then they just follow the mom around. But over time, they start to realize that every time there's this voice, every time there's this calling, mom reacts. And they start to hear that voice. And I'm not speaking from a place of wisdom on training animals. But that's my heart. I believe that's how it happens, as they start to learn and see what their mom does. And it just gets trained into them. And they start to learn that shepherd's voice. And at times, if they don't, we know that the rod and the staff are there. They're there for protection. They're also there to bring the sheep back in line. But again, it's not to harm the sheep. It's to help the sheep, to teach them to learn, to hear. Because there's a blessing in it. There's a security in it. There's safety in it. The path to all they need comes through knowing that shepherd's voice. And that's a bit my heart in this, is that I'm like praying it for myself. Like, Father, help me to better hear your voice. Help me to understand why there's seasons when I'm like, every day the word is like fresh and it's alive and it's coming off the page to me. And other times I go through a season where it's quiet. Why is that? What lessons are there to learn? Because I just see the testimony we have in Jesus Christ. He is our perfect example. And he did nothing. And I don't just mean in ministry. He did nothing without hearing from his Father. His ears were like fully opened. The perfect example and the life he lived, the way he blessed others, he was full of joy. Like the life, there's no greater life to aspire to or to desire than the life that Jesus Christ had. And he said, I can do nothing unless I see or hear my Father doing it. He was in tune. And that's my desire as well. And I'm sure it's God's desire. I'm sure it's our Heavenly Father's desire to open our ears and to help us to learn, help us to listen, so that we can have this testimony that every day I'm hearing from my Heavenly Father. Every day he's guiding me, teaching me, showing me ways that he wants me to change, showing me areas where I could do things better. It's a wonderful life. And I can say that even in my own testimony. Even the times when God has shown me a better ways to do things and I've been broken about it, because most often it comes through some pain. Like you learn some tough lessons. But whenever he speaks, it's a blessing. It's comfort. It's encouragement. Even if it's in areas where I need to change, I've never experienced it where it wasn't a blessing and I wasn't thankful. Thank you, Father, for speaking to me. Thank you for showing me a better way. But I desire that more and more. So let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. It says, but Christ, and it was contrasting Moses and the house that God had Moses build and be faithful for over in the first verses. But it says, but Christ was faithful as a son over his house, whose house we are, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm unto the end. So there's a promise there. There's a promise that we are God's house. And I shared about it briefly on Friday, but I'll just mention it here. Like if you look back and think of all that Moses did and the tabernacle and the gold and the wonders that were there, the glory of God and the pillar of fire and the cloud leading them and all of that, it like can be like, wow, that's pretty amazing. Well, who has the greater house? It's Jesus Christ. That was all just a shadow and a type. That was just a foreshadowing of what God wanted to do in Jesus Christ. So to say that we are the house of Christ, like, I was just like, wow, like, that should be amazing. Like, that should be, to any extent we see any glory or see any wonders or miraculous work of God in the house that Moses was faithful over, how much more the house of Christ? And that's to be us. We are that house. We have that promise that as the fire and the pillar led them, as the glory of God was present, as there was just as God gave careful instruction on how everything was to happen. It's the same, like, we have a greater promise that we are to be the house of Christ. But it says, if we hold fast our confidence and the boast of our hope firm until the end. So that's the condition. We need to hold on to our confidence in Christ, our confidence in his control over our life, his confidence in the work he's done for us at the cross, our confidence in his ability to change us, all the ways that can be applied. We need to hold on to that. We need to take that seriously. We need to hold on to that. And we need to hold on to hope. The boast of our hope, firm until the end. A boast not in ourselves, but a boast in the hope we have in Jesus Christ. A boast that we can give to anyone that's not pride. It's a boast that says, my hope is in Jesus Christ. My hope for this life and the life to come is fully in Jesus Christ. That's the condition. And then it transitions. It says, therefore. And that was, I think, one of the things that was speaking to me this morning. So that's the promise and the condition. And then it goes on and it transitions and it says, therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice. So I think I can correlate the two, that having a confidence and having a hope that we can hold on to firm to the end is correlated with the therefore today if you hear his voice. I was thinking there's a relationship there as to what the Holy Spirit, and I actually was thinking, like, what does his voice want to do? If we hear his voice, what is his voice going to want to do? What is it going to be speaking? It can be speaking many things and to the necessities of each of our lives. But primarily, we can say for certain that one thing his voice is going to be speaking is building that confidence and that hope. Because he's the one who provides it. It's not a white knuckle, hold on as hard as you can through this miserable journey situation. He wants us to have this confidence and hope because of what he's doing and because of our trust in him. And so if we know that's the condition, all the conditions, I would say this, and I think I can say this, all the conditions given in the new covenant, they're there and they're true and they need to be fulfilled, but we're not going to fulfill them of ourselves. We're going to fulfill them through what Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit does in us. So even this condition of having confidence and of a hope, if that's on us to produce, it's not going to work. I think it says it in Colossians, it says Jesus Christ is our hope. Like, it is Jesus. That hope is Jesus Christ. And it's him who's going to fulfill it in us. But it's up to us to hold on to it, to seek it, to desire it. And if we are willing, if we're going to listen for his voice, I'd almost take it as a promise that his voice is going to be speaking and encouraging us to have this confidence and have this hope that's going to sustain us to the end. But it says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So there's a warning there. And It can seem kind of harsh, but I'm going to read quickly some of the verses about where this is relating to the testimony of where it comes from. And it's only harsh because there was like a fork in the road, and the Israelites, other than a few, kept choosing the wrong fork in the road. And it is serious. Like, part of the way that God speaks to us, and I can say that I know this, part of the way he speaks to us is through difficulties, through times where we're perplexed, or for times where we're going through situations that are hard and we don't understand. And he's speaking to us, and he wants us to trust him. Like, I think in reading this, like, it's about the voice of God wants to teach us his ways. And so when I say this to give clarity, like, hearing his voice is the speaking primarily through his scripture to our hearts. But the knowing of his ways and learning his voice, actually, it even goes beyond that, because where it becomes reality is where we learn his ways through difficulties and the situations that he allows to come in our life. Like, when he's speaking to us, he wants us to understand, like, that everything that comes to us in our days is from his hand. And he wants to teach us through it and cause us to grow through it and learn through it. And in that, we can learn his ways. So it's not like, we have to know the Word of God. We have to study it, and we have to spend time meditating and studying the Word of God. But learning his ways is going to be mingled with what he allows in our lives, like the living out of the tests and the trials and coming to him and seeing him help us. Like, it's one thing to see it on the page, but it's an entirely another thing to walk through it and to realize. Like, I can say it even in the last week for myself. There was this situation that brought me some little bit of strain and stress. And I can think there was an evening in the night, or there's an evening last week where Maddie was sort of like, what's up? Like, I can kind of see you're off a little. And I had to say, like, yeah, I am. I'm a little strained or a little burdened about this thing. So we prayed about it, and I was sort of trying to come out of that space, or I was, but it was a battle. But it was interesting, like 3 or 4 days later, that situation that was troubling me resolved itself in a way that all I could say was like, wow, like, I'm so blessed. Like, thank you, Lord, for how you resolved this. Well, what's the lesson there, right? A, I'm grateful for how God did it. But what's the lesson? God wanted to teach me his ways. He wanted me to learn and find a way to trust him when I was first reflecting and going through all these things in my head and trying to figure it out. He wanted me to trust him and rely on him and know that he's going to take care of me. He's going to meet my needs. He's going to help me through whatever he allows to come in my path. And I just look back on it and I say, like I said, I don't regret. I believe I've heard God speak to me through it, and it's not discouraging, but I also learn from it. I'm like, man, I hope I do better next time. My hope is that through the power of the Holy Spirit and through learning these lessons about God's ways, the next time that comes, I can say like, oh, I know this feeling. I know this troubling of heart. I know where this comes from. I understand this. And I don't have the answer yet. Because very often God's ways are about learning to trust him when we don't have the answer yet. But I remember last time he delivered me, and I did not need to be anxious. I did not need to be fretting about this. And he helped me. And it was a blessing at the end. So, Father, now help me apply this at the start, when I'm still in the time where it's a bit of a mystery how you're going to work this out and how this is going to be for my good. I don't see it yet, but I've learned from last time that it ended up a blessing. So help me to learn from that. Help me to learn your ways. Help me to hear your voice. Hear your voice today. Because what was the Holy Spirit? I can say it. What was the Holy Spirit speaking to me on the first day when I was troubled? Don't be anxious. Trust me. Trust me. Let yourself be humbled. Because some of it's about being humbled. Part of me wanted, I know I wanted to control the situation. I wanted to be in control. I wanted to have my own plan worked out and see it come to fruition. And I just had to humble myself and say, God, it's on you. My striving and my thoughts are producing anxiety and grumpiness. I want to trust you. Help me to trust you in this and let you unfold this. And you show me the way to go. You show me the path to take. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 17. I think everyone here probably knows the story of the water and the rock, so I'm not going to read all of it, but I just was going to highlight a few different things, like what it looks like, because the warning here is not to harden our hearts, but to listen. And so that's what we need to learn from these testimonies, is what does it look like for hardening the heart, and what could it have looked like for them to listen and do this better? It says in Exodus chapter 17, verse 2, it says, therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test God? But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, why now have you brought us from Egypt to kill us and our children with thirst and our livestock with thirst? So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do? For a little more, and this day will stone me. So they're in a test here, right? Like, they need water. God knows they need water. I believe God had a plan all along to bring water from the rock. But there was a test. There was a test, just like when the water, and I can tell you, I'm virtually positive, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but they'd already seen God deliver them once. Wasn't the branch on the bitter waters before this? I think it was, wasn't it? Right? Like they'd already seen God do it once, where they came to another place and the waters were bitter and they were thirsty and they couldn't drink of the waters. And yet what happened? After some grumbling, God showed Moses the branch and he threw it on the waters and the waters were made sweet or good. They could drink them. So they'd already had that first testimony, but here we are again, no water. And what are they saying? They're saying they'd rather be back in Egypt. Like it's a bad heart. It's a hardened heart. It's saying it would be better for us to be back in Egypt, that God had never even started working and helping us, than be in this situation. And then what do we know? That God told Moses, go and strike the rock and I'll stand before you. And he did it. And it was like, just reflect on that a little bit. Like you're sitting there and you see Moses strike this rock with a staff and all of a sudden a rock splits and enough water comes out to feed, to give water for like hundreds of thousands of people. Like this was no little trickle. Like this was like, this. I think this would have been miraculous to see all of a sudden a volume of water come forth that could bring enough to quench the thirst of both people and cattle. Like it's a lot of water. And then it says in verse 7, he named the place Massa and Meribah, which means test and quarrel, because they tested the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? What does that mean? What does it mean to say, I'm going to test the Lord? To test the Lord is to say, God, unless you do this, I'm out. I'm out. Like, I don't want a part of being your follower unless you do this for me. Like, be on guard against that. And I say that because I have had times in my walk where I've said that. Don't say that. I've repented of it, but don't say that. Unless you do this for me, God, I'm out. I don't want to follow. That's the heart here. That's what it means to test the Lord. We need to be on guard against that because the enemy wants to bring that lie. The enemy is there and he is ready to bring that lie, to make us quarrel and fight against God instead of standing by and trusting him. Like how long do you think they had to wait? I don't think it would have been long. They're threatening Moses and all their bad fruit brought it about quickly that the water came quickly because Moses cried to God. But I don't think it would have been that long before God would have directed Moses to strike the rock or provided some other means. But I think it was going to be, actually, you know what? He was going to strike the rock no matter what. Because it says in Corinthians that the rock that followed them was Christ. So there was a lesson to be learned there. He was going to show them his provision. But they couldn't learn it God's way. They had to grumble and complain and fight first. And that displeases God. God does not want that for us. They never entered his rest. They never learned his ways. So turn to Numbers chapter 20. Is it Numbers 20 or Leviticus 20? Hang on. Oh, I should have written that down more carefully. I think it's Numbers 20. Yeah, there it is, Numbers 20. So in Numbers chapter 20, verse 2. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 2, it says, there was no water for the congregation, and they assembled themselves against Moses and Aaron. The people thus contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why then have you brought the Lord's assembly into this wilderness for us and our beasts to die here? Why have you made us come up from Egypt to bring us into this wretched place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vine or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink. So they're thirsty again. And the thing that spoke to me most in this account. This is a second account. This is not the first. I think most know this, but this is a second account where God allowed it. They were going to get thirsty again. And what have they learned over the journey thus far? Like, what have they seen? They've seen God already. We have two testimonies written of God bringing water, turning the bitter water sweet, bringing water from the rock, giving them manna from heaven. Their shoes did not wear out. They've seen the cloud of glory come on the tabernacle. They've seen a pillar of fire lead them. They've seen a cloud lead them. They've seen all these things. And on this journey, where have their hearts come to? It's unbelievable. If only we had perished with our brothers when our brothers perished before the Lord. You know what that is? That's two chapters earlier. That's when Korah's rebellion. Korah stood up and they were saying, "We're all holy. You take too much on yourself, Moses. We're all holy." And Moses said, "Today you're going to see who's the Lord's and who's holy." And the ground literally split open and swallowed the sons of Korah alive. And they said, "If only that was us." Like, that is a hard heart. And don't look down on them. The intent of this is not to say, "Wow, the Israelites were such bad people," or "The Israelites were so, God, you were righteous when you judged them." I mean, that is an appropriate statement. But that it's not, we're not to sit here and sit, take sides with God and say, "Wow, they were horrible." We're to say, take heed to ourselves. Take heed to ourselves that we do not allow the deceitfulness of sin and the lies of the enemy to bring our own hearts in a place where somehow we think it would be better to sit with the rebels who have been punished by God than walk in God's way. Somehow it's better to be with the rebels and the judgment that they're experiencing or are yet to experience. Somehow it's better to be with the rebels than to suffer the hardship. Because it is a hard way. It is a narrow way. But somehow we think it's better to be with the rebels. Like, that is a hard heart. And it's written because it can happen. It's not written because it's some crazy thing that only the evil Israelites or only the hard-hearted Israelites would do. No way. It is written for our instruction, because the way can be difficult. The way is difficult. The way can be perplexing. And we need to have it in our hearts that we're going to learn his ways. We're going to trust him. We're going to humble ourselves. We're going to repent when he shows us we've come up short and there's been a better way we could have done things. We're going to desire to know his ways. And what do we know? That once again, God delivered them. And even in this one, Moses ended up sinning, which I don't have anything to share on that. But God delivered them. He provided them water again. But unfortunately, it was only after they'd chosen the wrong fork in the road. And what is it? I think it says in Psalms, it was like 10 times. Like, I've just told you about 3. 10 times they had this fork to choose. Like, God wanted them on just one of those 10, just choose the right way. Trust me, just choose the way. See the way I'm going to help you. Wait, trust me. See that I'm going to deliver you. Choose the right way. But every time, chose the wrong way, hardened their hearts. And that's why they come to a place where they started off just saying, "We wish we would have been left in Egypt." And they've come to a place where they say, "We'd rather have been swallowed alive in the judgment of God than endure what we're enduring," which is, that's a hard heart. Let's turn back to Hebrews and read some more encouraging things. I think these things all, like as I read these, it all tied together for me, because if we read Hebrews 12, or Hebrews 3, verse 12, it says, "Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you, an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God." Like, this all ties together, right? Like, we started with the fact that the calling for us as the house of God is to have a confidence and hope that we cling to, that we don't let go of. We need to have that confidence and that hope, and that the Holy Spirit wants to speak and wants to teach us God's ways through the trials and tests. But the other side of that is this evil, unbelieving heart that we saw in the Israelites. Like, take care, brethren. We don't want this. Like, be on guard. And it is possible. Like, it does come. The sin wants to harden our hearts. It's deceitful. And it wants to produce a heart of unbelief. That's the root of it. It has a lot of outward manifestations and how the sin can manifest. But the root is an evil heart of unbelief that says, I don't know what's going on and I don't like it, so I'm going to my own path here. I'm going to my own ways. I'm not going to go God's ways. I'm going to go my ways because I can't trust God's ways. He hasn't shown me whatever. You can blame God, but it's an evil heart of unbelief. But what's the solution? We've already heard some of it, right? Some of it is today if you hear his voice. Listen. Listen for his ways. Listen for his voice of encouragement. Listen for his voice of hope. Listen for his voice of correction that says, listen, you could have done that better. But I love you, but you could have done that better. Please learn from this. Please learn there's a better way. Please learn that I didn't want you to go into that ditch. But I still love you and I'm going to help you. That's the voice. And then verse 13, but encourage one another day after day, so long as it is still called today. So to me, that verse, when I was kind of reflecting on these things about what is the day, like is today just one day that's a special point in history? No. Today is today. Like that's what it's saying. It says, encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today. Like that to me confirms it. Like this is talking about God wants us to be encouraged, hearing from him, encouraging one another every single day. So that, and why? Why is that? So that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's why. That's the warning. Every single day we need to be seeking to hear his voice. We need to be encouraging one another while it is today so that we don't end up in verse 12. So that we don't end up with a heart that is hardened, that is evil and unbelieving, that we're hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And I want to say this, like I don't, when I share these verses, I don't share them to make it, I guess, hopeless or that it's like oh, it's so scary. Like God gives us an abundant provision to walk this life out. He will help us. He will bear with us in our weakness. He's a high priest who can sympathize with us in our weaknesses. He's going to bring along brothers and sisters specifically into our life to help us. He's going to orchestrate events all over, like everything that happens in our days, he's orchestrating it to teach us. Like the opportunity to walk this journey with him and to finish strong is abundant. He has supplied an abundant help to help us on this journey. But that doesn't mean we don't need to be on guard. It doesn't mean we don't need to hear these verses and hear these warnings about the way the enemy works, the way the enemy wants to harden us through sin, or the way the enemy wants to produce an unbelieving heart in us. That's why they're there. They're there to teach us and to help us. But it's not to rob us of hope or to make us fearful that somehow this is going to be us. It's make us fearful of our own hearts and our own ways and say, God, help me not to get pulled down by my own thinking and my own reasoning and my own grumbling and my own complaining. Help me to walk this life as you would. And help me to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit speaking to me and trying to teach me through the difficulties that you allow. Verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. That's I want that. Like, I don't want that just because I somehow don't want to lose my salvation or don't want to end up in this place that it warns about. I want that because having an assurance, having a confidence, having a hope is a wonderful way to live this life. It's like a child who trusts their father, a child who has no care in the world because they know their parents are there and taking care of them and they can trust them. That child may get disciplined, That child will get disciplined. That child may fall and scrape its knee and the different things that come. But that child has a confidence and a rest because they trust their parents. They trust their parents. They know. They know my dad is there for me. They know I can trust my mom. She's going to be there. That's the life that our Heavenly Father wants for us. To go through this life being able to trust Him and know that He is there in every situation that comes in our lives. He will form it and shape that situation for our good, to produce something good in us, to produce the very best. Like, that life of an assurance and a confidence is because we know that our Heavenly Father has only the very best for us. And I see that, like, I stand up here saying that, saying, God, help me. I need to grow in this. I have not arrived. I want to grow in this. But I believe it, and I know it's the truth, and I want to further be changed. I don't want to continue to chase after my own ways or get grumpy because something I thought was going to be satisfying and that I was going to be putting my hope in is now denied me, and I'm now upset about that. When in reality, I should be saying, God, this thing that I was hoping for is denied me because you have something better. You have something better for me, and I need to let this work in my heart and bring about a change and let your Holy Spirit speak to me today, because I'm feeling this loss. I'm feeling this thing that slipped away from me that I wanted. It's slipping away on me today, but your Holy Spirit wants to speak to me today about this and help me and teach me through this. Teach me your ways. Okay, let's go to Psalm 95, and I'll finish there. I think it's Psalm 95. So this is the psalm that the author of Hebrews is quoting when he says, do not harden your hearts. And I'll just read through it because, like, I was just reflecting on the fact I want to hear from the Lord every day. That's my desire. I want to hear from the Lord every day. I want to know His ways. I want to learn from my mistakes. I want to have that confidence and hope and assurance in my life. I want all of these things. And I just thought it was really, I think there's some lessons as you read this whole psalm because of how it starts and then the warning that comes at the end. So Psalm 95 verse 1, O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hands. Today, if you would hear His voice. Like, how do we come to God, right? Like, what is it saying here? Like, with joyfulness, with thanksgiving, with knowing it's Him who created everything. And then most importantly, that we are the sheep of His pasture. That He's watching over us like a shepherd. That's the context. That's the voice we want to hear. And our hearts will be primed and ready to hear that voice if this is our testimony. If we're shouting to Him with joy. If we're coming before Him with thanksgiving. If we're reflecting and meditating on the fact that everything we see around us was made by Him, and if we know that we are the sheep of His pasture and He is the good shepherd, He will lead us like the good, perfect shepherd He is. And hearing His voice is a lifeline for us. Then it says, today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah. as in the day of Massa in the wilderness, which those terms, Meribah and Massa, that's testing and quarreling, and it's used in both of those accounts. In both of the accounts where the rock was struck, it talks about the fact that it was testing and quarreling with God. When their fathers tested me and tried me though they had seen my work, right? Like just like we talked or I was sharing, like they'd seen his works. They knew it. They'd already seen the many ways that he'd helped them and blessed them and delivered them. They saw his works, and yet they still chose to grumble and complain. They still allowed their hearts to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin because they saw his ways, and yet they chose rebellion. They chose grumbling. They chose complaining. They chose that. But they'd seen his ways. And he says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. And I just think it's up, like, it's dependent on God. But I just think that if our attitude is to come before him in the way that this psalm starts, with the joy and the thanksgiving and the trusting him and acknowledging his sovereign hand and his works and his ability to create everything and force everything that happens to yield to his will, that it might be for our good. And if we know of him as a good shepherd who wants to lead his sheep into good pastures and calm waters, then our ears are going to get opened. Our ears are going to get opened. And I believe it's little by little. It's learning. It's learning through the quiet times when you have to humble yourself and say, God, why is it quiet? What are you trying to teach me here? What do I need to learn? Right? And like, as I read through these, I'm not going to go there, but like, you can just reflect on them for yourselves, right? Like, why does it get quiet? Right? I think the Holy Spirit shows us, right? Like, think about the seed that gets choked out by the thorns, right? Like, what's there? Pursuit of pleasure, pursuit of riches, cares, worries, right? Like, these are all things. Like, the Holy Spirit, if you look at it with this context, there's lots of lessons to learn about how we can seek to have our ears opened. But I think the most important thing that would come be my heart here is that we walk out of here today saying, Lord, I want to hear. I want to hear every day because I need to hear every day. It's not just a want, it's a need. I need to hear from you, God, because I need you to help me on this walk. I don't want to have a hardened, grumbling heart. I want to have a heart that's soft, that learns, and that is able to yield and have you guide me on this way in your perfect path, that I can see all the ways and all the richness and how much you bless me every single day, and that my heart would be full of thankfulness for that. And that, I think, would be the fruit of having our ears opened and learning and growing in this way.